B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, fourth and final hour coming up on 5:03 in the evening here on Felger and Maz. We're coming from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. I promised you that we go back to the phones. We've also hit today on that Bruins absolute meltdown last night against the Florida Panthers. We can circle back to that if you like, and your thoughts on Tuca. We gave you a little bit on Heim Bloom, and I do wonder if there's an actual human being now running the baseball operation for the Patriots or one of these clones, literally a cardboard cutout of a baseball executive or
an automaton.
One of these clones, yes, these automaton clones that have been just pumped out of the baseball executive cloning machine they have at Yale. And if I can ever get the guy to talk baseball, I'm just curious about. Now, I've listened to a couple interviews, a couple different press conferences, and I haven't heard him talk any ball whatsoever.
I would say to look at it in terms of need A, need B, and need C might be a little limiting for us.
Okay, so that's a direct quote. He's asked about the needs on the team, and he said to look at need A, need B, and need C would be a little limiting. Okay, so woof, try having a baseball conversation with someone like that. So we hit on that and all the Patriots stuff. So to you as promised. Oh, also, the Celtics and do they have the best young duo in the NBA? It's debatable. Maz has a couple of duos ahead of you, as you might imagine, though they're not who you might expect. We can get back to that. And the Celts are back in action tonight, trying to make it 9-1, Maz. 9-1.
Pretty good.
Overlooking solid at this juncture. So
at this rate, they'll win, like, you know, 75 games.
Your calls on all those items. Tim and Taunton on the Patriots offense. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Go ahead. What do you got?
No, I was just calling because I got to agree with Maz. Like, Brady's got to stop being a little girl. And this offense, like, they need to dumb down some of the plays for this offense. Like, N'Keal Harry, I actually saw some of his highlights from college the other night. This kid's got raw talent, man. I mean, like, raw talent. And they're just not using him. Like,
yeah, so let's see. I mean, let's see. I'm willing to let it slide for one game for whatever reason if he wasn't ready. I mean, I'll let it slide if he's not ready, period. But don't tell me that you can't see more of the field and use more of your guys. And that can be Philip Dorsett. It can be N'Keal Harry. It can be Jacoby Myers. I don't care. It could be one of these tight ends. But don't tell me that they're not open one bit and that you're just going to lock in on Edelman and Sanu. Don't tell me that that's a healthy way to run the offense.
I mean,
it's not.
I do feel like the Harry thing is kind of running out of control. He couldn't play the first eight. Those were out. Okay, it was injured reserve.
And
so it's really about the Baltimore game.
He couldn't even practice with the team. So
correct.
Like, I get it, but let's see.
And it was being talked about like they were relying on him returning. They were going to use him in the Baltimore game, and then he was a healthy scratch. There's a sick part of me that wants him to be a healthy scratch for this game. Just try to hear people defend that. Because about Damian Harris, all of a sudden, I've heard from some of the guys that cover the team, report on the team. Well, he just hasn't been all that good at practice, you know. So why draft him in the first place? So if N'Keal Harry now is a healthy scratch for two straight weeks, like, what's the excuse going to be?
Harry's got to play this week.
He has to.
You know, and again, they have so limited options as it pertains to the red zone that, to me, they don't have a choice. They got to play him.
Ryan is in Wilbraham on the Patriots. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Love the show. Wanted to kind of get your thoughts on Dez Bryant. Has there been any contact made with him? And, I mean, he's a vet receiver.
Okay, so,
stretch.
Look, you know how I feel about pain-in-the-ass problem receivers. I got no use for him. It'd be one thing if Dez Bryant, this is sort of in the Colin Kaepernick category for me. When's the last time he played a football game?
He was on the practice field for the Saints last year, and then he immediately, I think, blew out his hamstring or something like that.
I thought it was Achilles.
Oh, that's what it was, Achilles.
So whatever, but that's a first practice.
Yeah.
So you know what I find interesting?
When's the last time he played an NFL football game? And what do you people think that you can just waltz off the street in the middle of November when everyone is up to speed and going a million miles an hour and just waltz onto an NFL sideline, waltz onto an NFL field and start making plays? Like, something would tell me that Dez Bryant is a million miles away from being able to contribute at that level. And I would say the same thing about Rob Gronkowski, who even played last year. But I just, it doesn't, it's not like Roger Clemens showing up next to Susan Waldman in July. And, you know, that's baseball. I think you can probably get away with that in baseball. What makes you think you can do that in football?
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Murray.
He hasn't played a real game since December 31st of 2017.
Okay, and was it Achilles? Does it say that there in front of you? And it's okay if you don't. But the reason I mentioned the Achilles is because he and Demaryius Thomas basically get hurt at the same time, right?
Yeah, torn Achilles. Yep.
Okay, so how is it that Demaryius Thomas was able to get back and play? And my point is, I don't think Dez Bryant wants to play. It feels to me like he's packed it in. You haven't heard anything about him.
Oh, he's been putting out videos and stuff.
Just has
kinda,
he?
Yeah, like kind of like the Antonio Brown thing. Like, here's me on my social media, like running these routes in a high school field.
So look, whether he's fairly or unfairly being, you know, not been given a job, like I don't care about that. I'm telling you, you can't take two full years off. And then in November, in the middle of the stretch drive, when everyone is in condition, going 100 miles an hour, up to speed, you just can't waltz onto the field and start making plays. I don't know what, how you could you expect someone to do that?
Oh yeah, no, it's easy.
It's like piece ridiculous.
Yeah, no problem. Piece of cake.
Was this bowling? Like, no.
I don't he tried that last year when his Achilles popped.
Exactly. He couldn't even make it through a practice. Good point. Paul in Rhode Island. Hi, Paul.
Hey, you're absolutely right. What makes you think that guys have been waiting in line for 2 years that know the playbook, and these guys are coming from other teams coming here? There's no way that's going to make a difference. There's no way. These guys, that's what makes the Patriots great, is the guys that are in line, waiting 2 years, know the playbook, did their blood, sweat, and tears, and that's the end of it. That's the Belichick way.
I'm with you.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
If you want to play for Woody Hayes, that's the name of the game.
All right, Woody Hayes. I don't want to bring up Woody Hayes, but now let's get the quarterback to throw to those guys. Okay, so Bill's all for it. We're all for it. You're in the system. You're in the playbook. You've been around. You've put in all the work from day one of training camp. Now will the quarterback look at you and deign to throw you the ball? That's my question now. Or is it just about the biggest name and the longest tenured veteran and that's sort of Brady where he gravitates to? Mohamed Sanu shows up and all of a sudden Philip Dorsett is chopped liver. Doesn't get a single, how many targets did he even have in that game?
I think it was like four, maybe, if that. And it felt, I'm not even sure it was that many. It might have been like three.
And he's an afterthought.
Yeah. Look, it's amazing when you think about it with the Patriots, between all the things you're talking about and the way Baltimore put points up on him a couple of weeks ago. You could have a team with 8-1, 8-1 record, a borderline historic defense, and still look at them and say, boy, there's a lot of questions unanswered. Because that's how I feel this week. I think that's sort of where we are now. We're at this stage of the season after the Baltimore loss where they're starting to play real teams and there's still a lot we don't know about them.
Marcus is in Burlington. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Thanks for taking the call. Ran into Mavs last night, actually, at the 99s. But my point here today is Brady's career coming to an end. I think the Patriots have to start looking at some assets like Cam Newton, maybe Colin Kaepernick. What do you guys think about that?
Okay, Kaepernick, no. He hasn't played in 3 years. And I the rest of it is a whole nother story, but he hasn't played in three freaking years.
I don't want either one of them.
Oh, I want it so bad.
But Newton I would take. I mean, let me put it another way. I'd take a look at. Because he's been playing football. And this year he got hurt, but he's been in camps. He's been in passing camps. He's been in the NFL. He plays. He's a current player. I'd like to think they could do better. I would prefer sort of a blank canvas for Bill, a young guy that he grooms and develops and just sort of, whether that's Stidham or whether that would have been Garoppolo, someone along those lines. So I don't want someone who's been in a different system and has different ideas and, you know what I mean, and is an older player. But I would take a look at Cam Newton if he were available to you.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? There's too much talent there not to look. Take a look at it.
So, look, I get what you're saying. A guy who's played versus a guy who hasn't. I don't want either one of them. I think Newton's cashed.
Yeah, I do too.
I think at this stage it's like buying a car that's got 150,000 miles on it or something like that. Like, I just look at him and say the best days of Newton are gone.
Yeah, Newton I'm a no, but Kaepernick, yes, just for the anger. You know, many like angry like Facebook uncles would lose their minds over that. Oh God, I would love that so much.
Well, Rodney and Methuen, I don't want to go too far with it, but go ahead, Rodney and Methuen, go.
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question about Colin Kaepernick. Now, he's looking to get a job back in the league. Now, my question is, if he gets a job back in the league and someone hires him, now what happens? Didn't he sue the league for them trying to blackball him?
Yeah.
Does he lose that money?
I don't know.
I'll hang up and listen.
I don't know. I don't care. Could really give two poops.
So I forget, did he win that?
Yes, they did. And he and someone else, and they got an undisclosed settlement.
Was it Eric Reed, I believe?
Yes, I think that's right. So, yes. So, which I thought ended the matter, but apparently it hasn't.
Yeah, I don't think he has to give the money back because, again, it's about lost wages.
Something's up here. This whole thing's a dog and pony show. Why?
Of course it is.
Like,
so
why now?
Fraudulent. It's so fraudulent. If he
on the league's behalf, too.
He made a business decision that it was better for his business and his brand to be blackballed than to be playing. He wouldn't have lost a single day if he just accepted a backup job with backup money. He never would have left the league. He may be on his third team. He may be bouncing around as a backup. But if he wanted to play on day one, he could have taken backup money and backed up somewhere and worked his way back onto the field if he was worth it. Guys who want to play, play. Like, the following guy I'll give you is a total cretin. I don't want him anywhere near me or my family or anyone that's dear to me. But Johnny Manziel wants to play football. He got kicked out of the league. He went to Canada. He got kicked out of there or fell on his face there. He went to this AAF nonsense. He bangs on the door. He works out for teams. He's willing to be a backup somewhere for backup money, and he can't even keep his stuff together to do that. But that's what you do when you want to play. You take whatever job is there, and you continue to work your way back onto the field if you can. Colin Kaepernick doesn't want to do it. It's better for business, and this is America, and he's a capitalist, but it's better for his business to be blackballed and to be shunned by the league. So he's taken that option, and it's been good for him. So that's what's going on there. But the whole thing about him actually playing after 3 years is just, to me, ridiculous. Ridiculous. It doesn't work that way. We've got Steve in Portland on the Patriots. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? What's the statute of limitations on Greg Bedard being wrong about Lawrence Guy on his three up, three down versus the Ravens?
I think we give you 2 to 3 years of statute of limitations.
I need 2 weeks, that's all, because on the other network, they showed Lawrence Guy versus that triple option, taking the wrong gap, and the guy ran it right up the freaking gut.
So Bedard came up with a guy in Van Noy. Maybe he just goes to that end of the locker room and has become tight with those guys, because I don't know how you could give it to any, I don't know how anyone could get a star or an attaboy on defense after that Baltimore game.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Again, this is the way the Patriots are built now, and this is my concern about them going forward, or one of the big ones anyway. Like, you look at them and say, if they're not a great defense, if they're not an A or an A-minus defense, I'm not sure their offense is going to be good enough for them to win at all. I just don't think that, you know, the ceiling for the offense this year isn't as high as it has been in other years. And I know people look at it and say, what about last year? Last year, they had guys that were part of the operation, right? Gronk, and, you know, there were at least weapons there you could look at and say, you can rely on him in a big game. Other than Edelman, I'm not sure they have that now.
Okay, back to your calls. Also, programming note, the Felger and Maz off-air show returns. It's myself and not Big Joe, it's Jeopardy Joe Murray from the Bankroll Boys. So we'll do some handicapping and swearing, as tends to happen on the off-air show. It's presented by Ace Ticket. It's at 6 p.m. sharp on Facebook Live. So again, that comes your way at 6. Coming up next is more of your wonderful telephone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
So I expressed some frustration earlier with Chaim Bloom, the new GM there with the Red Sox. And this isn't an assessment of his aptitude for the job or if he's going to do good or bad. I don't know. A lot of these nerds are really good. And I've always, as much as the nerds frustrate me, I've on record as saying they're generally right. Like, all their advanced analytics, like, they make sense. And that I think they help you win. And I'm not telling you that they're wrong. I just think they're sucking the ever-loving life out of the game of baseball. They're sucking the life out of the game on the field. They're sucking the life out of the season. And they suck the life out of the offseason. Because I've now heard Chaim Bloom in three or four different press conference settings or interview settings, and I can't tell you a single thing that he believes about the sport of baseball. I have not heard him say a single thing. And if I'm wrong, someone please tell me. Someone correct me. Show me the quote. That he, and you know, fill in the blank, that he believes you need a strong running game, that you need a strong starting rotation, that he believes in power in the middle of the lineup, that he believes that closers are overrated or underrated, or that you need, you know, I have no idea what he believes makes a winning baseball team or a good club or a championship contender. I have no clue. I haven't heard one line from him that tells me that he believes or what he believes. I haven't even really heard him talk the sport. And let me just give you a few examples. You know, he was asked at one point about, you know, needs. And, you know, what does the team need? A first baseman, a second baseman, top of the rotation if some guys are hurt? They don't have a closer?
I mean, I can rattle those off for you off the top of my head. First base, second base, maybe a backup catcher if they get rid of Leon. They could probably use some bullpen help and a depth in the rotation.
He says, I don't think we're really thinking about it in mid-November. I would say to look at it in terms of need A, need B, and need C might be a little limiting for us. To zoom out, we know our objective is to prioritize sustainability, prioritize competitiveness, not just this coming year, but also in the long term. To think of things through that lens rather than trying to arrange an order of needs is how we're approaching it, and it should open up more options for us. And that's like sort of been the tone of every answer, which is this generic, broad-based analytics sort of approach. We're going to look at it like a spreadsheet, see where there's inequities, see where the value is, and that's how. But nothing about baseball in there. It's like, God, is that not fun? This is the off season. The GM meetings are going on now. Free agency, in case you didn't know, and you don't, started a week and a half ago in baseball. And he's saying, well, to talk about needs is limiting. You want to zoom out. He's asked specifically about the bullpen. This is from the Globe. Bloom said that he's open to having both a defined closer or taking a more versatile approach to the position. And that while he values experience in the late innings, he also doesn't see that as a prerequisite to bullpen roles. So what do you see? He says, quote, I don't think it's fair to have one set model. I think every club is different. You have to do what you think is going to work best for you, what you think is going to win you the most games. I don't think it's fair to have one set model. When it comes to the closer, like, that's a pretty simple one.
I mean, to me, that one's pretty straightforward.
Do you believe in your experience in the game, what makes a winning ball club is having a set closer or having three or four different arms that you use situationally? It really is black or white. It really is, we believe in this, or we believe in that. I believe in this, or I believe in that. And he can't even give me that.
Boy, these guys really do just want to take the human element out entirely.
So it's like,
And I mean that even with regard to themselves.
Here we are in the middle of the offseason, or the beginning of the offseason anyway. Should be a fascinating offseason for the Red Sox. Big decisions, big choices, and some really interesting moves that could be made. And I listen to the GM, and I don't feel like he's talking baseball. Like, are you talking baseball?
No, he's not.
Is there any baseball in there?
No, he's not, because, again, he's not a baseball guy. This is where it's headed. It's really kind of alarming. It's
headed.
Frustrating.
They're there.
Well, right. I mean, I say it's headed. You know, that's the old person in me talking, Murray. It is. That's where it is. It's exactly right. It's where it is. And it is. You hear it, and you go, well, so do you enjoy watching it?
Well, I mean, like, so, I mean, let's talk ball. What do you believe in? Like, that's just, I need that. I'm just, and again, this doesn't mean he's going to be good or bad. It means as a fan or a guy who does a talk show and who wants,
purely from an enjoyment standpoint,
wants and needs the Red Sox to be a topic of conversation, I'd like to talk some baseball. So baseball.
That doesn't compute.
Tell me about the baseball team, and what do you think makes a good baseball team and a winning baseball? Let's talk the sport. Let's talk ball.
See, and you know what his answer is? Well, it doesn't matter what I think. So it only matters what I can prove. So you follow me?
So I'm
like, he looks at it and says, it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what the numbers tell me.
So all of it. I mean, you read these quotes or even hear them. You just gloss over whether it's him or any of these robots that run these teams now.
So it's just he's just another one of these Ivy League.
We need to fluctuate the axial containment field.
Huh? Analytic clones.
Yeah. It's you might as well be from MIT. It's all about probability. Like, that's what, which is why, like, I sort of look at it and say, well, then why do I need you? Why do I need you? Why can't I just get someone else who can get give the same data to?
So, again, he might
be cheaper.
He might be good. He might make the right decisions. But, boy, just another example of them zapping the fun out of this game. But anyway, a couple follow up thoughts on that. I just wanted to reset that so we got to these calls. Tom and Quincy, what do you think?
Mike, seriously? This guy. He's going to drive me up an effing wall, okay? Because at least Dombrowski took until first day of spring training to piss me off. This guy, honestly, I can't do another year of this. I cannot do another year of someone telling me that you don't need designated roles in the bullpen. Fact that it is fact, in your words, Mike, fact not opinion are on this. Teams do not win the World Series without designated roles in the bullpen, especially a closer. I've talked to Tony a million times about this. This is ridiculous. The last four World Series, the Red Sox won. Huh, conveniently. Folk, Papelbon, Koji, and Kimbrel. After that, nothing. You got Bonds, Thornburg, all these stiffs out there. If they're going to go down this road again, honest to God, I'm going to lose my effing mind by opening day.
Okay, so that's sort of a scary thing, too. In his non-answer, you know, clone speak, on the closer thing, I don't think it's fair to have one set model. I think every club is different.
Do you have a preference?
Right, Heim. So now, see, I get it if you're in Tampa, and you are. You've got a payroll, and you can't exceed it, and so your hands are tied, and if you have a closer, you use them. If you don't, you have to do committee because you can't afford it. I get it. So now you're in a place where you have the money to do whatever you think is best. What do you think is best? Can you talk to me?
You know what his answer is? And again, I'm not advocating for this logic. I'm just trying to articulate it so that we all understand it the same way. His answer would be, well, it depends on the value relative to the other needs that we have.
Do you believe in the closer? Do you believe in the closer? Do you believe you need an end of the bullpen guy, a designated guy? Do you believe that?
I mean, so now the thing, like what Tom was saying, I believe in a closer. Okay, and I think saves, by the way, are worthless. I've always said that. But what I do believe in is the structure of the bullpen, because unfortunately, you're actually playing the game with human beings. And to those guys, it matters. They know when they start getting ready. They mentally prepare themselves. This is when I'm coming in. This is when I'm not. If all of a sudden you throw that into chaos, it's hard for them to order it. It's hard for them to do it. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's hard. Now, you get to the postseason, you want to shake it up and bring in starters the way the Red Sox did in 2018, fine. Because everybody's in fire drill mode come playoffs. But the regular season, players look at it as a long, methodical grind. It's a march. And so you got to have some structure to it.
So this is a simple one. It's they were, again, either second to last in saves or third to last in save percentage. They were down at the bottom of the league in these save.
They need structure in the bullpen.
So it's a huge question on the ball club. Huge. We're in the off season. We're in the quote unquote hot stove season. And the GM can't even talk baseball on that. Well, it's not, you know, I don't think it's smart to have any one set model.
Because he's not a baseball guy. He's a numbers
God.
Guy.
God. Could you make that any less fun?
I know it really. And this is, as Murray said, this is where it is. The baseball opinions in the eyes of the people who own the game and run the game now. The baseball opinions don't matter.
Wayne in Yarmouth, quick.
It is early, but, you know, Bloom is a robot, and he's not getting any follow-up questions at all from these supposed reporters who are around him asking questions. And, you know, until somebody starts pushing him to be specific, this is going to continue. Now, it makes me wonder, you know, does Henry just want this to become a small market focus with this guy?
So I don't know about that, but I think Henry is all into looking, sitting at a desk with three computer monitors around him and, you know, giving me the soybean futures and doing the exact same thing with the sport of baseball. I think he's all in on that.
Oh, he definitely is, because, again, that's how he does it. And that's what he connects to. And in his defense, it has worked for him.
Yeah. Right? Like I've said, this analytics nerd stuff, I've never said it doesn't work. It just zaps the fun out of it.
I mean, what baseball is losing sight of on the field and off, it is an entertainment business.
We're supposed to be talking ball and
you got to you got to entertain me a little. You got to make me want to care. Like, this is the whole point. It's entertainment.
You're second to last in the league in saves. Do you need a closer? Can we just have that conversation? It's the off season. Tell me one way or the other, then we'll talk about it.
I mean, again, they're so focused on the efficiency that they're losing their customers.
Here comes Murray's update. We're back with more. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, wrapping up with your phone calls here. A couple different items here on the board. Including, here's our buddy Mike in Woburn. How'd you feel about the Bruins last night, Mike? You enjoy that?
Oh, no, I didn't. And I really think Claude's on his last legs going with the Fribble crew in the beginning of overtime there and then giving Wagner the first shot in the shootout.
So that's
when will his rope run out, Mike?
So that's your first takeaway.
Mike, you know what? My takeaway is the coach has an opportunity at multiple points in that third period to do something to change the momentum of that game. Call a timeout. Pull the goalie. You want to blame the goalie? I'm pretty sure Cassidy saw that third goal that you complained all day about. Why didn't he pull him after that? Halak's a pretty capable backup, right?
Absolutely.
Mike Keenan used to flip-flop goalies like they were having line changes if they gave up one like that. Did he shake up any lines? No, he really did nothing. He just sat there and watched. He watched as his top defenseman, or arguably his top defenseman, was on the ice. McAvoy was on the ice for four goals against. Did McAvoy get stat?
No, I mentioned this earlier. See, these are fair second guesses. I think you getting all bothered about the fourth line starting overtime is silly, or Wagner taking the first. Mike, let me finish. Jesus. You starting with Wagner starting the shootout, they all suck at. They were 0 for 9 on the shootout or something. They're now 1 for 12. Everyone was missing. So I don't blame them for trying different guys on the shootout. And they were great on the 3-on-3. They were tremendous. That was a great 5 minutes there. That was great. They couldn't finish. Marchand had a clean break. They had a million clean breaks. They had a million chances to score. I think those are silly second guesses. I would have pulled Rask after the third goal. I would have called a timeout. I said all this stuff earlier.
Yeah, and Mike, the 3-on-3 is pretty much a skills competition, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't one of your more skilled and quickest young forwards, Anders Bjork? Why is he stable to the bench?
Yeah.
Put him out there.
Yeah, Mike, they had a million chances in the 3-on-3. A million. So I'm not complaining about the lineup in the 3-on-3 when they were all over the place. They couldn't finish. So I think that's a dumb second guess. I get the feeling Mike's deflecting because he doesn't want to talk about the goalie, who absolutely crapped himself again in that game.
I mean, that third goal was unbelievable. Now, again, I think the problems last night were bigger than the goalie. The other game, was it the Montreal game that he was horrendous in?
Yes.
He was way worse than that one. He was absolutely horrendous.
So Cassidy should have pulled him after the first period in Montreal. I said earlier he could have pulled him after the third goal last night, although 10 minutes left in the third, that's really rare. I could have used a timeout there too, mentioned that earlier. My biggest coaching second guess is that he has Pastrnak on the ice in the last minute of the game. When you're protecting a one-goal lead, that to me was the worst of them all. That's what I would really blame him for. You throw out the Bergeron line at the end of the game, fine. Why does Pastrnak have to be a part of that? You know, you like Heinen or you put one of those guys out there with Bergeron and Marchand, and that's how you close the game out, not Pastrnak. And you know, even Marchand, who's developed all these bad habits. So that's my biggest second guess with Cassidy, is that Pastrnak was on the ice at the end.
I mean, Marchand is, to me, is the easier one to get frustrated with. Pastrnak is who he is, so which speaks to your point. Like, why does Cassidy have him out there? I get agitated with the players. Like, I look at it and say, you don't know that. You don't know that. You're in the league. How many years? You turned into this kind of player, and he did it in the Stanley Cup final, let alone in the month of November against the Florida Panthers.
So we lost our mind to start the show. It was way back in the 2 o'clock hour. Catch it on the podcast, the replay, 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. You can catch the first 40 minutes of the show we unloaded on the Bruins there. Richly deserved, I would say. Kevin in Rhode Island on the Patriots. What do you got, Kevin? Kevin! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You obviously know the number. Ryan over at TD Garden wants to weigh in on the Celtics. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, what's up? I wanted to weigh in on the IT thing, but just to touch on your baseball point earlier, we absolutely need a closer. We got rid of Kimbrel. We didn't have Kimbrel last year, and we lost a dozen-plus games just not having a closer last year. So to your black and white point earlier, it's definitely white. We need to have a closer. Got to have a bullpen. We got to have a closer, too. On the Celtics, I'm very excited to see IT, King of the Fourth, come back tonight. If he does better tonight than Kemba, how do we feel about should we never let him go? Obviously, Kyrie was a huge mistake. Look at the toxic environment that he's bringing to the Nets right now. They were one of the best, you know, teams all together, cheering happy last year, and now the Nets are, like, they look terrible. He's toxic.
Okay, so let me stop you, because these guys are already making noises over here.
I don't regret letting Isaiah go at all.
No, enjoy what you had. And you got the max you were ever going to get out of that guy. You have the memories. Move on. He's done. He might have a flash here and there, but that was it. You got the best of Isaiah Thomas.
Look, again, like, you know, only the Celtics, again, would go through an era in which they got bounced in the first round and the guy would come back and get a standing ovation.
Oh, no, no, they won't put the number up there.
I mean, really. It's like, look, I loved Isaiah, too. He was a fun guy to root for just because of, you know, what it takes to play in that league. And you got a 5'8 guy who's able to compete at the level he competed at, which is good. It's a good story. He didn't win anything while he was here. And you know, you really didn't even, the year they made the run to the conference, did they get to a conference final with Isaiah?
I think so.
Was it after Horford got here?
LeBron,
that was the year he got hurt.
Well, it was the year
he
got hurt.
Right. Yeah. Right? That was the year he got hurt. So I guess they did get to one conference final with him, but again, they weren't close. They get spanked in that series. And so I don't know. I'm a pass-fail guy when it comes to the NBA. No, no. To me, you're either great or you're not, and he's not great.
So as much as I'll debate all of you, you know, 24-7 over Danny Ainge making a mistake with Kyrie Irving, which he did. Fact, not an opinion. It was a mistake. It set you back. I've never complained about what you gave away. You know, the lottery picks the most of it. Is the only thing you should care about is the number 8 pick. Only thing you should care about. I never mentioned any of those bridgey players you gave up, especially Isaiah Thomas. Non-factor. Complete non-factor. You were smart, in fact, not to pay him the money that he wanted or to hitch your wagon to him. That was the smart part of that trade, is not having Isaiah here either, as cold as that sounds. But that was never it. It was what you brought in. Here's John in the truck on our Heim Bloom conversation. Yes, John?
Hey, guys. Touching base on this, I've been listening to you guys since the 2 o'clock hour on the drive up here back to Massachusetts, and everyone's kind of getting on high and blue and saying that he's a robot and he's really not giving you any answers. My question is, what answers? I understand Maz's point as far as we want clarification on the closer role. We want clarification on, you know, first, second base, definitely a backup on the catching front. But my point on this is that he's actually has the hardest job possible. Because he's got to clean up the mess from Dave. Dave completely gutted the farm system. He didn't have any assets to go and actually make any kind of acquisitions to help the team last year. And to that point, I think we're going to go to a mid or lower market team? I don't think that's the case. It's just when he's looking at, we got to keep our spreadsheets open, to use your words, as to what we're looking at right now. He really does. He has to start from the ground up and completely do the same thing that I don't know who the guy was who took over the Tigers after Zimbrowski left, but the same thing.
Okay, but
start from scratch and develop.
He doesn't have to start from scratch, first of all. He doesn't have to start from scratch. A team that, you know.
No, the guy in Detroit had to start from scratch.
That was a total rebuild. This is, if the players get their heads out of their ass and are healthy, you're going to contend for the championship this year. I don't know if you're going to win it, but you're going to be
in the playoffs.
You're going to be in the playoffs, and you're going to be knocking at the door if the players play hard and are healthy. If you do nothing. You're just that kind of team, and the American League is what it is. So that I don't think that's a fair comp.
And my criticism is not really of Bloom in particular when you think about it. It's sort of the generic state of the game and where they are with regard to decision-making.
Bingo! You're right. He does have to look at the whole spreadsheet. I wish when I listened to him and these other baseball executives that I thought I was listening to someone talk about baseball and not their spreadsheet. That's just sort of my complaint.
I mean, so I wonder, like, and, you know, I know what the answer to the question will be, at least publicly, but is this guy a baseball fan?
Like, I don't know.
Like, you know what I mean?
I haven't heard him talk baseball yet.
So I don't even care if he played it, but is he a fan of the physical game on the field, or is he an analytics guy who is more interested in playing fantasy baseball?
No, he's a fan of math and how it can be applied to the game of baseball.
Well, so that's
like all of these guys.
I think that's it.
Yeah, it does. It feels that way now, and that really that does take the fun out of it.
I mean,
nothing
it does.
More than an equation to be solved.
I mean, I don't know anything about his background. Did he ever play, like, even in high school, or, you know, Babe Ruth? Did he play Babe Ruth ball? You know, like, tell me he played Little League, please. But then when they move the mound back and you play real baseball, that's what, okay, so did he ever go there? Did he ever play high school baseball? You know, just reading his wiki, I should have looked all this up, but
he was a mathlete, not an athlete.
His first entry into the baseball world was an article he wrote for Baseball Prospectus in 1997. And he continued writing for it until he joined the Rays. So
what was the article about?
I don't know.
I want to look it up.
I don't know.
Now I want to read.
He was born in 83, so he was 14 years old. So at the age of, he's like one of these
whiz kids.
Yeah, super nerds. At 14, writes
like the Bobby Fischer of baseball.
Writes an analytic article for Baseball Prospectus, and so like this, I can totally see why John Henry's in on the guy. It's like he looks at him and sees himself.
He's
you know,
a stud
sitting in his room by himself with a computer screen, or Henry was playing rotisserie ball with the St. Louis Cardinals and Missouri and blah, blah, blah. And like, so like I can see the kinship, but I mean, that's what it sounds like when you listen to him. And I don't know. I like to talk baseball.
Yeah. Again, Henry's into solving the problem, right? The math. He looks at it and says, what does the math tell me? What is the best probability for success? And again, it's a prudent way to do it. It's hard to enjoy that. And the worst part of the whole thing is that they've taken that approach on the field. The right way to do it is to run the count deep. So now I got to wait for six pitches until you decide what the hell you're going to do. And the right thing to do is for the pitcher to take his time. So I get him, you know, standing out there with one thumb in his ear and the other one stuck between his cheeks.
Meanwhile, down the hall in Houston, they're banging on garbage cans.
I mean, like, it's gotten way too bogged down. And it's just not entertaining anymore.
Okay, final word comes your way next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sport. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope. We don't do story time much on this show, if ever. But wouldn't you know, Felger had a little story time today.
What? I did?
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember that.
Me neither.
Back in my day, there used to be a thing called the hot stove.
Oh, yeah.
That's not much of a story.
I wasn't paying attention.
That's why I was talking to someone the other day. Someone who's not even that that young. Maybe 30s. I said, boy, the hot stove sure sucks. And they said, what? I said, the hot stove. I'm like, what are you talking about? The hot stove season.
Never heard the term.
I don't know what you mean. Because why would you? The hot stove, kids, is what we used to call the baseball off season because it would be cooking or it'd be cold and you'd be sitting around the stove talking about rumors and what baseball teams are going to do. But you'd be in the cold weather sitting around the stove, warming yourself, talking about who's going to trade for who and where is going to go. So it's the hot stove season.
That's how you got through the winter.
But now there's no hot stove because nothing happens. nothing happens. Free agency started a week and a half ago, and there hasn't been one blip on the radar because nothing happens. All these nerds are in front of their computers printing out their programs, and no players are moving, and no one's talking baseball because they're all analyzing the market. The hot stove season is dead. It doesn't exist, to the point where if you ask someone under the age of 40 about the hot stove season, they look at you like you're talking about something you put in the microwave. They don't know what you're talking about.
Can you imagine if all of America shopped this way at Christmas time? I mean, the economy would tank. It would be over. That's it. You'd run it into the ground. Because that's exactly what these guys are doing. They're just sitting around waiting until the last minute. Maybe wait till after the holidays because the prices come down. Meanwhile, Christmas sucks.
Yeah, we covered a lot on that.
Yeah, seriously. I think that's what they've done. They've destroyed Christmas. Baseball does is taking Christmas away from children.
And then we've wrap up with this. It being a Wednesday means it's a appearance by Paul Perillo, Patriots.com. With that comes the singing of Sunshine
yes,
Day. Today it was sung by frequent caller Luke in Vermont.
Today's guest singer has to be Luke in Vermont, doesn't he?
Why definitely not? I'm on the phone on my way to the game tonight. I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. But I gotta get out, get me some of those rays.
Woo!
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day.
Yeah.
Everybody's laughing.
Let's go.
Sunshine day.
Woo-hoo.
Everybody seems so happy today. But it's a sunshine day. Mess, why won't you give credit to Daniel Tice? He's always cleaning the glass underneath. You just don't want to admit the Celtics have a big man, but they do.
I really can't get enough of it. I can't.
So we need to juxtapose that with an actual Luke call is what we need to do.
Dead on.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Anyway, here comes Jones and Arcan. What do we got cooked up tonight there, Jonesy?
The Honorable Judge Adam Jones is entering the premises here. And we're going to put not just the Bruins, but the entire sport of hockey on trial. I have a few rule changes that I think need to be implemented if you want to hear them. Number one, I think the Bruins should just reject the pity point they got last night. I think they should take the point that they got from that game, take it right back to the league and say, we don't want this. We don't need this. We don't deserve this. We actually deserve 0 points for our performance last night. I also think there should be a new rule implemented, and it really only applies to one player in the entire NHL. The guy who leads the league in goals scored, that means he's scored more than anybody else. It's mandatory to use him in a shootout. You have to actually use him in the shootout, especially if you're going to go to an extra frame, use four guys. Like, he has to at least be your first alternate. So those are my two rules.
I don't mind them not using Pastrnak. He sucks in the shootout.
They all suck in the shootout.
Yeah, no, I thought Wagner and McAvoy were particularly good last night.
I like McAvoy. Yep. Too.
McAvoy hasn't scored an actual goal all year. Why don't you use the guy who leads the league in actual goals scored?
He hit the post. It was a good bid.
I did. I agree. I like McAvoy.
Okay, shootout. But that's not my show. It's your show, Jones. So you do what you got to do.
Before you go on, can I just say something quick?
Yeah, please do.
I did find a story written by Chaim Bloom on Baseball Perspective.
Oh, goody, yeah.
This is my baseball prospectus, right? It's going to be my homework tonight.
How many pages is that?
It's only a few. It's not that bad, actually. I expected much more from those blowhards, but this is not so bad. I will say just quickly that having read a little bit of it, it's a good thing this guy get into baseball management, because he would have sucked as a writer. He would have sucked as a media person. It's a good thing he went into the field. He did.
Off-air show comes your way right now. Me and Joe Murray in back, presented by Ace Ticket. We'll see you on Facebook Live. Here on the air, it's Jones, and then we're back at it tomorrow, too. We'll see you then, Anthony.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.